Welcome to The Barbell Strikes Back. I'm your host, James McDermott, and today is a historic show because I have three guests joining me on the podcast. Everyone, welcome back Shaf, Miguel, and Frank to the show. Fellas, how are we doing?
Great.
Good.
Don't all answer at the same time. We were just going over the rules of the podcast, and I forgot to say, we just have to make sure that we don't, you know, all like talk over one another and stuff like that. But I kind of feel like it's not going to be a huge issue. Yeah, see, that just proved my point. Yeah, see? So let's dive right into it. We have a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on in the Barbell Club and behind the scenes. If anyone follows our Instagram page, which they do, we've learned recently that you guys have fans, which is pretty cool. I'm not sure who has more fans. Is it Miguel? Is it Frank? Is it Shaf? Who knows? Maybe we'll find out someday when the people are coming up at the Caffeine and Kilos meet asking Miguel for autographs. That's very possible it could happen. He is the fastest in the club, after all.
Says me.
So the first topic on the docket here is the controversy surrounding Miguel's brand new five rep max back squat of 255 pounds. There's two points of controversy. There's a controversy that Shaf and Miguel know. And then Frank made a interesting observation when he saw the video. And that's another piece of contentious issues going on here. So let's talk about first, Miguel, what happened during that set of five that angered you?
Well, to start, after my first rep, my belt popped. So that was like, I was already thinking like if I should just re-rack and start over or if I would be fine.
And then I'm glad you didn't. I mean, normally you put your belt under your shirt. So I was very surprised that it was
over
your
shirt. Yeah. And then rep four, as I was coming up, I kind of hit like, you know, the moment where you have to use your second effort to kind of get up, like you where you slow down almost to a stop and then you kind of finish it out. And then I felt like two fingers on either side of me, like fully lifting me up.
A guardian angel was there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because I guess with the mask on, like you couldn't see the expression on my face at that moment, but I'm sure it was the amount of shock that I had on my face. Cause I fully felt like sometimes people like will straighten you out or like will kind of just be there. But like, I fully felt lifted in that moment on the fourth rep. And then getting up after that, I had to make a decision if I even wanted to go for my fifth rep. Cause at that moment I already felt like it didn't count. But I decided I went for the fifth rep and same thing happened, like same point too, and I felt myself getting lifted once again.
So this is interesting. One, I wish I could have seen the face. So darn these masks, because I would have loved to have caught that on film. Two, I didn't realize that Shaf's interference, so to say, or for lack of a better term, had this much of an effect on you. I didn't realize you were thinking about stopping the set. I know that, you know, afterwards, his elbow bump was not returned. And I caught that on video, you know. And Shaf, when you went to go to do the elbow bump, you looked away. I feel like you knew it wasn't going to be reciprocated.
Oh, I saw his eyes.
Honestly, I have no clue. I had no clue that there was even an elbow bump. I have not even watched that video yet.
And you never will.
Like I saw it posted and like I liked it and everything, but I was like, I'm not going to watch this because I'm just going to make myself angry again.
So I didn't even... Maybe I need to look closely. I didn't realize he touched you on both reps. I thought it was just the last rep. And I didn't realize that he was pushing you up too.
Yeah, no, like I fully felt myself getting lifted up.
You felt robbed.
Yeah.
So
I didn't feel like I was putting that much pressure on.
Let's go to Shaf. What was going through your mind? I mean, did you not have faith that Miguel was going to make this five rep max back squat attempt?
No, I thought he was going to make it. I didn't realize I put like that much pressure onto him. I was just having my hands there,
So you were just covering really close on the spot.
Yeah, I had him in like a fist and everything. I didn't have him in like two fingers. That's weird.
Well, he felt fingers.
He felt fingers. It was a fist.
Maybe they were knuckles. Maybe they were knuckles.
Yeah. No. After looking at that video, I totally regret doing that.
Well, all right. Let's go to Frank. Frank, before you bring up your other point, we're gonna save that a little bit. What were your thoughts when you saw the video? Because there was a bunch going on in the comments of everyone shaming Schaaf. And what did you think when you saw it? Did it pop out to you that, hey, the set was ruined, so to say?
No, like going in, like seeing the video, I didn't even realize that Schaaf had like helped him. I saw like something about Schaaf touching him or whatever. So I thought like maybe it was like a COVID thing. Like, I don't touch me, get away from me, like 6 feet social distance. Like, I didn't think this was a, like, you ruined my set. But now after hearing this, you know, I just want to say congrats to Miguel on his three rep squat.
Well, that, I'm glad you brought that up. Miguel, would that be a three rep PR?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, damn.
Maybe. All right. Actually, maybe. But I didn't count it for a five rep. Like, if you check Wattify right now and go back to that day, I think I put in 235, not 255, because I can't. I
kind of feel like I shouldn't leave the video up now. I feel like it's it being up there is a lie, because I counted it in my head because I didn't realize that all of this was going on. Yeah. Frank.
I didn't think that he had helped him when I first saw the video. Like, I didn't realize till Miguel just said that he like lifted him at all. So I, you know, looking at the video, I was, so, you know, happy, you know, cool, five rep max. But when he said he lifted him, like, you know, I'm sure he would have got it, but.
Yeah, I'm just surprised with the emotional impact that it has had, too. I mean, this is the most egregious attack on a fellow team member I think I've ever seen. This is tough. Schaaf, did you know that Miguel felt this way about the lift? Did you know he wasn't counting it?
He said it right after the lift. He said it doesn't count. And I was like, ah, shit, I fucked up.
Okay, so yeah, I must have scurried off, you know, to go film other people, and I just didn't realize this. Mm-hmm. I'm looking it up right now, and if anyone needs to find it, this was posted 4 days ago, so October or September 30th. I'm watching it, and you know, you did a good job spotting the first couple reps. Like, you had good social distance. The hands were free. And the belt came off, and you start to close in a little bit. I think the belt coming off threw you off a little bit, Schaaf. You started to get a little handsy after the belt came off. I'm on rep number 4 here, and here's where you made the fist, and I saw it. Okay. It was the fist. It's the thumbs, Miguel. So it wasn't two fingers, because he's making a fist with his thumbs kind of on top of the fist, and it looks like he's pushing his thumbs into your chest. And then it looks like you yelled at him, he was going to help you back into the rack, and you're like, no, I'm dropping it. Okay, well, knowing all this information now, Frank, I guess bring up what you were going to mention, negates the whole thing.
You put this on me, James, but this was a you thing that I'm just bringing up from a few episodes ago. I don't remember which episode it was. And I don't know if you guys listened to it, but James said he had this whole list of things about what makes a good back squat. And I felt attacked because my PR got to be close to a year ago now, when we were last doing like a heavy back squat cycle, was like 506. And I dropped the bar from my back, and James made this little list about his back squat things, and he said that he feels that you need to walk the weight back in and re-rack it for it to count. So when I heard that, I was like, oh man, does my 500 back squat not count? And then I saw yours, Miguel, and you dropped it, and I was like, wait a minute. So that was, you know, I just wanted to make sure I brought that up to James the other day.
So all right, right now I feel like everyone on the podcast is feeling attacked. So this is spiraling out of control. But the what Frank is talking about is one of the episodes a little while ago on the podcast called For Whom the Bell Tolls. I talked all about PRs, what counts as a PR and just a lot of my thoughts on PRs. And I did say on that, that I think for a back squat, you have to walk it back in to count it, because I'm not a big fan of the dropping. That being said, when I filmed that episode, I didn't realize there were past PRs that were counted. I will say, though, one thing I forgot to mention on that podcast was that I feel like I also have the power to veto anything and to say whether or not it was a PR or not. You know, like I'm the deciding factor in the club, because there have been some instances where there was a discrepancy and I'll just weigh one way or another. Do we need a PR council to evaluate PRs as they happen, to have a group vote and judge on in a more democratic way to see if it counts or not?
That actually, I like that rule of having to re-rack it. I mean, part of the reason that I dropped it off my back is just because I wasn't going for another one after that. Like, I just felt like I was done anyway. So I was just going to put the rack away anyway. But I do like that rule of having to re-rack it, because then it shows that you have control over it still. But it would be cool if we had like a list, like a board that had like rules of PRs, so that everyone can just refer to it and just like, no questions asked. Well, because we have a lot of rules. I will say that we hold each other to such a high standard, or at least I hold everyone else to such a high standard.
Miguel, I feel like you need to write the Albany CrossFit Barbell Club rule book, and it has to have all of the rules in there. Because I'm still in the process of making our new leaderboard, which is already spiraling out of control in a sense that I've way too much on it, you know, so I need to whittle that down. But we're going to have all the wall space just covered in laminated boards on all the rules, all the different things to PR on. Everyone can have their own personal PR board. So I don't know what. All right, Frank, we've decided that the rule of, I guess, are we deciding that the rule of re-racking is the one that counts?
I think,
is that for every lift?
I think that if you can show that you still have control over it, because I feel like you also do the excitement thing where if you get a really good PR and you just like you feel it, like you're already standing up, you've got it, you're fine. Just throwing it off your back seems so much cooler.
Well, and you see, I feel like that's what Frank did. So it was like a different situation. Yeah. So that's where I'm going back to my rule of, okay, as the club coach, there are the rules, but I'm also above the law, or I am the law, like Judge Dredd. So I can say yes, I can bless everything as it was indeed a PR. So I think that Frank's would count, because that was a big PR. That was what, 406 for three or five?
506 for one, yeah.
Oh, 506 for one.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big PR. And yeah. See, I'm not a fan ultimately of taking away PRs as well.
Oh, you're not taking it away. Like that happened. So no matter where you declared the rule. So I just felt like afterwards when you said that, that's when I was like, wait a minute. And then, you know, and then Miguel with his drop, I was more, if anything, I was more coming at James than Miguel for that one. That was just, you know, I wanted to make sure we knew what the rule was. So
actually what you were feeling was that there was favoritism towards Miguel.
Not quite, because you never told me mine didn't count, but I just wanted to make sure that we, you know, had an understanding that, you know, if we get excited over one, we drop it. Like, I understand we're not going to drop every one of our sets, like, because A, who wants to clean the weight back up every single time? You know, but if you get pumped up for one, you know, we use Olympic bumper plates. So, you know, it's not like we're dropping steel plates on the floor. I think we can get away with it.
Yeah. If you were in a gym that had steel plates, that's a great way to get kicked out and probably beat up, you know, if you're doing that. But I think too, since your PR was done before the podcast that I did, and where really I sat down and formulated all of my thoughts and philosophies on it, I think it should definitely count.
Yeah, and Miguel's only doesn't count because Shop ruined it. So Miguel's would have counted even still.
Yes, yeah, we're all in agreement that Schaaf ruined it and he's to be the blame on what happened there. So, Schaaf, how are you going to make amends on this to Miguel?
Just never spot him. It's not going to be back there.
so the way
no one in the club anymore. It's just not going to be back there.
All right, going forward, you'll hold the camera.
I won't even hold the camera. I won't be in the room.
All right, so going forward, we're going to have to ask you to leave if Miguel is going for a PR.
Yep.
I did tell him afterwards. I did say, like, I mean, I will fully put it on myself where I just shouldn't have – there shouldn't be any doubt that I can get the weight up myself. So, like, nobody should feel like they have to be there just in case. Like, I should make it clear that I'm good. But I did tell him, I was like, next time – just let me die. If it looks like the weight is gonna crush me, like, just let me die. I would rather die with a barbell on me than having the question in my head.
You know, add that to the rule book. We have the Drago rule from, you know, Ivan Drago rule. If he dies, he dies. I think that's that needs to be like an unspoken rule. Unless I feel like when you guys are going for fives or threes or something like that, you guys are very, very good about bailing. And we're doing so many reps where it's like, it's clear whether or not this set is going to happen after the first two or three. But when we're going for, let's say, singles, that's a good time to have, you know, a PR when you're going for that ultimate one rep max. And typically what we'll do is we'll have three spots when we're doing that.
I'll get serious for half a second, though. With just kind of like the whole spotter thing too, like for anyone listening out there, is like, make sure before you go to do a set, kind of like Miguel was hinting towards, make sure, like, talk to your spotter before you pick the weight up. You know, like, I'll tell you, like, you know, when I'll tell you exactly what I'm gonna say when I feel like I need help, you know. So whether it's like, hey Schaaf, like, I'll say help when I need it, or, you know, don't touch me until you see me going back down, you know. If, you know, I get a little grindy in the middle sometimes, I might stop, but if you see me going back down, then grab on or something like that. Like, kind of give them an idea of what the cues are. And until you have that relationship built up where someone spots you a lot, and they just kind of know how you lift, it'd probably be the best, in your best interest, it'll save you a headache.
Yeah, there's got to be communication. And like you said, it's a relationship.
Mm.
So you guys, we just need to work on your teammate relationship. I feel like
therapy.
No, yeah, this is a therapy session right now.
Mm-hmm.
Just working through this relationship between the both of you, which it's a tumultuous relationship. There's a lot going on. Do we want to talk about the mask issue? Miguel, you finally realized or announced to the group that Schaaf has a tell in his lifting and it involves his mask.
Yeah, so what I've noticed is when he's going for, like, usually his last, around, like, his one of his last sets on, like, the complexes that we're doing. So whether we're doing triples or, like, two from the knees and then last one from the floor, he'll do his first two, and they'll be good, and then he'll bring it down to the ground for the last one, and he stops for a second and touches his mask, like, just ever so slightly, and like pushes it up a little bit, and then almost, I would say, if not 100% of the time that I've noticed it, 99.9% of the time, if he touches his mask before that third rep, he will miss the third rep.
Schaaf, did you realize that this was something that you do?
I didn't realize I missed every single time I did it. But yeah, I noticed it's something that I do. It's more like I can give myself a second before I have to go for that last lift. It doesn't help, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, Miguel is obviously keeping track. He probably has a graph somewhere that will show the percentages of made or missed lifts. And I feel like it used to be the sock. You know, it used to be the sock or the hair, you know, when you had longer hair that you would tuck it back behind your ears. You do have a tendency on like some of these lifts to fidget and go for something on you to readjust before one of those lifts. I just never realized it was correlated with missing the lift.
Yeah, Miguel, it's funny because obviously I always look, but it's like, it's not like the first couple times I was like, oh, he touched his mask, he's gonna miss it. But it's like after like the third or fourth time, and you're like, wait a second, has it been every single time that he stops and touches his mask that he misses it? And I think it's just, I know for me, like, the reason that I can't stop is because then I'll get into my head and then I'll like think too much about it and I'll just miss it. So I like have, especially my last rep of like anything that we do, like I almost rush it because I'm like, I just have to go or else I'm gonna do something that'll psych me out.
Yeah, I think we can all relate with that. You know, it's I don't like to stop either. And I like to have all of my reps be done with the same kind of repetitious setup. So it's like the first rep, maybe I got my hands on the bar. If this is a snatch, you know, I'm going to take a breath at a certain time. I'm going to drop my hips at a certain time. I'm locking my back, find my focal point with my eyes and pull. There's really no time in there where I'm going to add something, you know, and that would certainly throw me off. If on rep number three, I brought it down and then I was adjusting my mask or something like that. And actually, I would say the times where maybe I do miss because something is thrown off, it's very similar to Shaf. Normally my glasses will be falling off. So I'll adjust them. And then I feel like I'm in a similar situation to Shaf where now I've changed my whole routine on how I was doing it. And now I'm more likely to miss the lift. So I think it's just maybe a breaking of a routine type of thing.
Yeah. And I think it's like once your mind loses focus on the main thing that you're doing, which is lifting at the time, like once you allow yourself to get distracted by whatever that other thing is, then it's like you feel like you either have to lock back in fully or I feel like you already lost that next round.
Yeah. Frank, do you have any kind of a memory of like where there's a thing that will break your focus that kind of similar to this? Because that's what it's sounding like. It's a break in the focus. And it's a break in the whole setup process that you're not doing it the same every lift, where you just had two lifts where they were identical on the setup and the routine to get there. Then the third lift, there's something foreign right in the mix. And now it's just adjusting the mask for him, for Shaf.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Like, because in my gym, I go in early and I'm working out alone. But sometimes there'll be things going on in the room next door. And so I'll be in the middle of a set and someone will walk behind me and like start talking to me as I'm lifting with my hands on the bar. And it's just, they just don't always realize, you know, kind of what's happening or, you know, how heavy it is for me or something like that, or kind of what the goal is. Or maybe they'll see me do two and think I'm done. And then I'm go to set up for my third one and they start talking to me and they don't realize I'm going for a triple, whatever it is. I've never had an issue with the mask on my face, causing any sort of trouble with the lift, you know, specifically, but you know, I've been distracted before. I just got to block it out and get focused. And, you know, just everything you guys were already saying is kind of the key.
So, yeah. Well, so it's like, let's say your normal setup routine before you're going to go and do a triple at 100 takes you 8 seconds between lifts, just as an example. Now someone's talking to you. Not only did they break your focus and you have to refocus, but now you've been sitting down there and you have your hands on the bar for, let's say, 15 seconds. So this is just dragging on and on, and your energy and intent on the lift is kind of waning away.
Right. Yeah. You just lose, you get out of the groove and then it's not really a triple anymore, right? It's like a double and then a late single tacked onto the end, you know?
So it's, yeah.
It's just not fluid like a triple should be, kind of, you know, lift whatever your normal reset is, lift, same thing. It shouldn't be like lift, take a break, lift again, take an even longer break, and then, you know what I mean?
So yeah, and I feel like that's the hardest one to have this happen on, is when we're doing triples. You know, when my glasses start to slide to the end of my nose, or they flip up, or they're falling off. And the thing that sucks is you and I use straps, so it's like, it's like if I wanted to fix that, I have to take my hands off the bar and take the straps off and re-straps. If it's doubles, I feel like I can power through it a little bit more. Do you find that to be the same for yourself? If someone maybe says something to you, you can bounce back easier on a double?
Yeah, I could. Because I also think, I mean, it really depends on how far into the session you are too. Like if I'm towards the end and I'm tired and I'm beat and like this is the last one or two lifts that I've got in me and you mess it up, then not only did you distract me, but you probably pissed me off, you know, because I don't have much energy left to play around with. So that's going to throw me off more than if it's early and I just be like, hang on a second, you know, let me finish this and then we'll talk. You know, that's different.
You know what we need? We need a Barbell Club shirt that on the back of it says, don't talk to me.
Yeah.
Or don't talk to me, I'm lifting. And it has like a grumpy face on it, you know. It has the face of someone who has just done, you know, sets of triples or something else that's awful. All right, well then, Shaf, how are we going to fix this? So we were doing better now that you're aware of it. So Miguel was being a good teammate. You know, yeah, it was funny in the beginning, but he brought it to our attention and your attention on Friday. So now what do we need to do? Like, do we need to tighten up the mask? Do we need just to ignore the mask and ignore taking the hands off the bar? Is that kind of a defense mechanism within the set? The set is getting hard, so you're kind of looking for a break. Take me into the mind of Shaf during all this.
I don't know. I feel like it has to go with, like, if I'm going for, like, a heavy single, I need everything perfect, like, everything on me. That's why I'm, like, fixing my sock, or if I got to fix up my knee sleeves, like, everything has to be, like, on point. So if I see that in my, like, third snatch when we're doing, like, a triple, and I see something that's off, and it's just going to really bother me going into that next rep. So my mind just like goes to it. And yes, I kind of do use it for like a rest too, because like sometimes it just hurts. And that's pretty much it.
So there's
maybe I just have to just like go through that pain, just go through it and like try to ignore it. But like sometimes I just like notice it and it just bothers me so much. Like I have to stop.
So there's a little OCD going on. The sock is a little wrinkled. Should we just lift with wrinkled socks? Like, what if the socks just started down instead of up?
I can't do it.
Or what?
I'm not even lying.
Like the ankle high socks instead of the high socks.
No, I can't do that. I tried it. You can't do it.
So, all right, we're going to need to find a way to get socks to have the elastic on them so they'll grip and not slide.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe knee high socks that you put under your knee sleeves. I'm pretty sure that's legal now.
Is it? Just get out my soccer socks and just pull those out.
Yeah, like we have to remove the variables that are going to distract you, or we have to find a way to not be defeated by a piece of clothing during the sets. So I'm just trying to think of ideas here.
Were those things that like people used to wear that like held their socks up under like their dress pants? You know what I'm talking about?
Sock keepers, yeah, the little belts around the cap.
He's going to be lifting at Christmas in kilos with sock keepers attached to his knee sleeves. And watch it, you know, like it's just going to be like a $1 million idea, and you're going to sell it to every gym all over the place, because maybe you're probably not the only person with this issue.
No, he's going to end up on a weightlifting meme page on Instagram.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's hard for me to relate to this. I don't have this problem on, like, you know, the outfit needs to look a certain way for me to do the lift, you know, and I wouldn't even be able to tell you what's going on within a set. Miguel, Frank, any ideas on how Shaf can kind of move past this a little bit?
Make the damn lift.
That's a good idea.
That helped.
But there's like 8 ounces of cotton that is not allowing that to happen when it slides down his shin.
I've got no advice.
Honestly, I would say it's kind of what I do, but I think I'm like, I feel like I'm very dramatic with it. So like when I do my lifts, other than like the way that I grab the bar, I try not to have too much of a routine, because in my mind, I always envision like, all right, what if something happens and I only have 10 seconds to go out and do my lift? Like, I want to be able to walk up to a bar with no type of preparation routine like stuck in my head that I feel like I need to do to make a lift. So I feel like I want to just be able to walk up, let's say the bar is like slightly tilted toward one side or the other. I want to be able to just grab that and go and have it be fine. Then like have set conditions that feel really good to me, because the second that it doesn't feel like that, then I feel like that'll completely throw me off.
I can agree with that. You know, I know coaching Schaff, and even coaching Frank, because Frank's setup routine has gone through different iterations, you know, some of those longer setups that have all these different steps, you know, I always got my eye on the clock. And sometimes if it's getting down a little low, that can be a little stressful. It's like, all right, let's do this lift now. You know, like the socks are good. Socks are good. The hair is good. You know, let's have the lift be good too. Yeah. Frank, do you like, you don't really do your whole routine anymore. I remember we used to kind of rock side to side a lot, and it would be a little more drawn out. What have you done to kind of whittle down your process to get to doing the lift quicker?
Well, I used to just like hang out in the bottom for a while and really get like kind of just, I don't even know what I was doing, just mess with my grip and just kind of sit there for a minute. And I was honestly, it was just thinking too long. So I think with a lot of the technique work we've done where I can just grab it and not have to think and I can just lift, I've been able to cut out a lot of that. So I'll just grab the bar, you know, get my feet set, and really it's just a matter of feeling my weight hit the right spot in my foot. And as soon as I feel like I'm balanced where I need to be and my shoulders are tight, then I'm ready to go. So that's it. I just kind of get set on the bar now, and I'm just kind of slowly sit back into my heels. And as soon as I feel like I'm right where I need to be, I go.
No, I think it's come a long way, and I'm glad it is the way it is now. I almost feel like, let me know if I'm wrong, doing so many sets on triples and doubles, there's not a whole lot of time to do that or the will to do that between all those lifts. It's just going to drag out every set as well. So I've kind of seen it go away the more we've done that. And definitely like something on EMOMs, you know, if you're doing EMOMs and you're having this big elaborate setup, it's going to be exhausting.
Mm. Yeah, I know a lot of people have like a really, it seems to me more people that come from like a powerlifting background tend to have like a really long like routine. I don't know necessarily why that would be, what their time constraints are, stuff like that. You know, but they seem to be very, especially when they're setting up for like a big deadlift, like they have like a really specific routine they go through that has to be perfect. And sometimes it'll carry over to you know, weightlifting. But I think, you know, it was just a matter of just trimming out what I didn't need and realizing that I was actually hurting myself by sitting in there in the bottom too long and thinking and all that stuff. So I just kind of was able to cut that stuff out.
Yeah. And I think one time I timed it on like a triple or a double, and it would get longer from one rep to the next as well. And I think I told you, I'm like, your setup was like 28 seconds on that, you know, from finishing the first lift going into the second. So it's like timing yourself and watching those videos back and kind of seeing, hey, these things aren't the same when I'm doing them. And I'm trying really just to train myself to be able to do one lift a certain way. And if I'm doing a set of doubles or triples, if I'm doing a different technique, even on the setup on the second rep and then another thing on the third rep, well, is what I'm doing really feeding into my ultimate goal of doing it one way, one time, you know, in one situation?
Right. Well, and for me too, it's also been the intent behind it, right? Like, so like I can understand wanting to get back on the bar quick to make sure that the double or triple is giving you the stimulus of what a double or triple should. But at the same time, I've tried to like kind of wean out this getting on the bar before I'm ready. Like, you know, I don't want to grab the bar until I'm ready to lift it. You know, there's no point in me hanging on to it and trying to psych myself into it. It's get your head right first and then grab the bar and then lift. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. You're better off just, you know, taking your hands off it and then taking a few steps back and then reapproaching ferociously and then getting set when you're ready and then going again.
Right. Yeah. It was a lot of Ilya videos.
Yeah.
Broke me to that.
Well, Schaff, I think the first step you know, to solving any problem is awareness. And Miguel is a great teammate who has shown you, and he look at how observant he is about your lifting. Miguel probably knows your lifting better than anyone in the world. What do you think about that?
I feel like you're not doing your job then.
Well, I mean, Miguel, my eyes, like you don't see the private text he sends me later on the full report, the percentages of lifts made, how many times you adjusted your hair, just all these things, you know, like, so he's the expert. I kind of feel.
I will say that I focus on the things that don't matter 100% because afterwards, after Shop does a lift, he'll be like, oh, did I do this or did this happen? And I'll be like, I have no clue. That's not what I was looking at. But I also feel like Haley's a really good, I guess since she is a coach, like she's also really good at pointing out little things that everyone does. But yeah, I definitely focus on the things that do not matter at all.
Yeah, you're focusing on Shaf adjusting his mask, and Haley's focusing on, well, he just cut the finish short on that second rep, and that's why he missed it. But that's the beauty of the Barbell Club is, like, you know, we do these things so often and we do nothing but practice and talk about these things. And the more educated you guys are to have each other's back, the better experience everyone's going to have in the room. And what's important though, is that you guys are actually taking the time to look, you know, like everyone's focused on their own lifting, but when someone else is lifting, you guys are watching, and not just watching the lift, but analyzing it, because you want that person to be better and to do a better job the next rep. What we got to do is we got to get Frank in there. He's got to come back. Frank, any other future trainings in Albany that's going to get you back for a stretch of months to lift with us again?
No, nothing for any extended periods of time, but I did see that you were planning something for Halloween. So I'm going to do my best to get up there and give a shot. That's a crap.
We have our, a spooky practice meet coming up, which, you know, I'm going to find spooky prizes. I don't know what they're going to be, but I will find something. There probably should be some candy there, I imagine. And we're going to have a little practice meet. And, you know, I've been thinking about this. I want to know what you guys' thought is on this. I've been thinking about this for quite some time. I used to call them mock meets. And then I looked up the definition of the word mock. And it means inauthentic, not real. And then I'm like, well, I don't like that word. I like practice better, because that's exactly what we're doing. We're doing a practice meet. It may not be a sanctioned meet, but it's still a meet, and it should be approached in every way to be as authentic as possible. And I think our last practice meet all the way in February was pretty badass. I think it was pretty on point. I think we just needed it to be, well, Miguel had a rough performance at that one. But I think the only thing we were missing at that meet was having it actually be sanctioned, like, you know, and having more people at it. At least that's how I felt coming off of it. We had prizes, we had legit scoring and everything like that. What do you guys think about the difference between those two words, mock and practice? Or are they just the same and I'm overthinking it?
I can totally see that. I mean, I can say for me, but I feel like when we have them leading up to, now I can see why the language would be different for different people, because typically, like, the three of us would have a meet coming up. Something that, like, in my head, I would be like, that's the actual meet. And then this mock meet, literally in my head, will just be like, this isn't real. Like, this is kind of just kind of getting everybody ready to, like, go through the motions. Like, it doesn't really mean anything. But for other people on the team who perhaps haven't gone to, like, an actual sanctioned meet, then probably practice would be a better word, just psychologically for them, instead of like mock, like this doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Type of thing. I guess it would be different for different people.
I guess too, I would use the word mock meet for what we do on a Wednesday night before a meet, where it's like, okay, you know, we're going to do our warmups and openers, and I'm judging you by standing in front of you and telling you whether or not it was good or not. But what I would say, the thing that we did back in February, that was a practice meet where we had three people in the chair judging. We had a mapped out competition area. And everyone's warming off up on the sides, and it was just a little bit more authentic versus that inauthentic of it's just a practice session. Other people in the room are doing different workouts even, you know. That's what I would say would be a mock meet. Frank, what are your thoughts?
I just did a quick Google search in like typical English language fashion. There's a couple of definitions of mock. So another one would be arranged for training or practice or performed as a demonstration. So mock isn't that far off in that sense. So, you know, not to argue, I think practice is probably a better word too, but you know.
Yeah. I wonder if in your minds, does the word, well, I guess Miguel already kind of answered this, that the word kind of changes your mental intent going into it, correct?
The only thing I need to hear is meet and I'm ready to go. So I don't mock practice, demonstration, I don't care.
So maybe what I should do is just not even put the word mock or practice in front of it. And we're just going to do a weightlifting meet, a spooky weightlifting meet coming up on Halloween day, right?
Yeah. Call it like a team meet, basically.
Yep.
So, club meet.
Yep.
And you know what? I might even still be able to get like something like that sanctioned. Maybe I should just say, like, I don't know what the limits are and like how many people you have to have participating in order to have it be a sanctioned thing. What if we just did like little 5-person sanctioned meets every now and then?
Yeah, I could help you judge. I have my certification thing from USAW.
Yeah, which Shaf, Miguel, do you guys have that yet?
No.
Oh, remember when I posted the link to it and said that everyone should do it in the Facebook group? And apparently only Frank did. Great. Shaf, what are your thoughts on this whole situation of mock versus practice? And does the word matter to you when you're going into it?
It doesn't really matter to me that much. When I just hear the word meet, it's just like, oh, mentally, I'm just going to get ready for a meet.
So you're like Frank.
That I'm doing there. Yeah, just like that. But I can definitely see how like the language of like the word mock can like really mess things up if you don't really fully know like the definition of it, like the one Frank just had. But I'm okay with it.
Now, to be fair, it's very possible a lot of people don't know the definitions. Like I'd never really thought about, well, what does mock mean? And I just thought mock just meant, you know, like practice. So it wasn't until I started Googling definitions like Frank did until the question popped in my mind, well, what kind of message am I saying on what we're doing and what is the true intent here on the whole event? Interesting. Well, you know,
I guess I guess if someone didn't know like the word mock, they would probably just like, if they knew the word mockery or something, like is amazing.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah. See, that's why I didn't want it to be like mockery, like fake. It's a jokey thing. It's not real. You know, it's like what we're doing is serious and we're trying to practice our conditions and our focus the same way you would when we go to the Arnold or any other meet, you know, which obviously we can't do it on as grand of a scale as the Arnold, but we still want to be serious about it. You know, that way when we get to the meet, there isn't a shock. Or, you know, you didn't practice what you're going to try to do at this big event. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, you know what? Speaking of meets, Shaf and Frank are already qualified for next year's Arnold and the AO series. And Frank, you weren't in this. I messaged Shaf and Miguel about doing this podcast. And then after that, I messaged them and said, oh, Shaf is already qualified. And he said, and I quote, let me find it here. He said, and I quote, then let's go crazy in December. And I'm taking that as the final verbal agreement that he's going to do the Christmas and Kilos meet in December and we can go crazy. So what do you think about this? Is that's legit, right? That was a yes, I will do the meet, right?
That's a green light to me.
So Shaf, when are you going to sign up for Christmas and Kilos?
I'll do it sometime this month.
Sometime in the next 25 days, you're going to sign up.
Time. Right now, before we end this podcast, you have to be signed up.
Yes, you have to do it on the podcast. You know, I just did a podcast earlier today with Jamie Swagler, the person who owns the gym and is going to be the meet director for this meet. And we did have the discussion on how lifters will say they're going to sign up for the meet, and then several months later, they still haven't. And the physical toll and mental toll it puts on their coaches when they just don't sign up, when they know they're going to sign up and they just don't do it in a timely fashion. You're hurting me, Shaf, is what I'm saying, is you're hurting me right now on the podcast. I can, my hair is getting grayer the more I think about this, on how it's going to be December 11th and you're still not signed up, and I'm messaging Jamie Swagler about getting you into the meet.
I feel like I'm always good on that, though. Like, I haven't, we haven't had that situation.
Yeah, not that extreme of a situation. It has happened to me before, though. It's a scary situation to be in. Like, I, like, does it make you nervous about the fact that maybe it could sell out and then you can't do it? Or is that what you're really hoping happens, Miguel? I see you down there smiling. Was that your plan all along? Miguel, let's talk about you. You're bumping up a weight class, and in order to get you to qualify for the Arnold in the AO North American series now, your qualifying total has bumped up by 30 kilos. So we've got some work to do.
Do we?
We do. Yeah, we do.
I thought he already qualified.
No, no, he didn't. He's actually like 20 kilos away from qualifying, which if we can connect with that 225 pound, talking in pounds now, clean and jerk, which you're going to have to squat jerk that, which Frank, I don't know if you knew this, but Miguel is converting to a squat jerk now.
Well, if anybody on the team can do it, I'm sure Miguel will find a way.
Well, there's so many questions now. Like, I don't know. It depends on, it kind of depends on the rest of the team for me right now. Because if everyone does qualify for the Arnold again this year, I kind of have to abandon all the changes that I was going to make, because they're going to take a long time, like, for me to feel comfortable within the 67 kilo class and to also, like, bring in a new jerk and everything. So now I'm, like, thinking if I should just stick to 61 for now and then just know that I'm good enough to qualify there, get in, and then work on all my changes, like, on the side. Or if I want to just, I mean, if I feel like if I commit to 67 kilos, that I probably won't be going as heavy with things right now. And then I'll have to accept that I probably won't be doing any, like, big level meets for probably another year.
Well, where I think you're at now is you'll be snatching a house by the time we get to, like, into the new year, and you'll be cleaning a substantial amount. It's just that jerk that's kind of lagging behind. And what we've found, and Shaf, you've seen this, and Frank, this is new for you. I have the video. When Miguel does a squat jerk, it looks really good. One, he's got the flexibility to it, but there's no wobble in his arms. It's a perfect lockout. It's a lockout just like his snatch. But if he goes to catch it higher, you know, in like a power jerk or a split jerk, that's where the lockout issue is. And that's where the puzzle piece has been on getting that lockout. And I almost wonder if this is kind of a situation, Miguel, and then you guys let me know what you think, kind of the situation we were in just recently on your clean, that you were beating the bar down on the 225 pound clean that we were just attempting over on Friday, and it was crashing on you. So you're just, this is where your speed is kind of like not in your timing, and it's kind of working against you. You're beating the bar down on your cleans. I imagine you're beating the bar down on your split jerks and your power jerks, and the bar is crashing on you all the time, and we haven't quite figured out the timing for the lockout because it's just crashing on you all the time. But you don't have that problem on the snatch because that's the lift that you have the best timing on. So your speed and your timing and your rhythm on the lift works the best on the snatch, and it's currently working against you on the jerk for sure, and then it has the possibility to work against you on the clean. Yeah. I don't know. What do you guys think about this?
Well, I haven't seen it, so I can't really say much on any of the changes he's made, but, you know, all I can say is I know he's got the flexibility for it, and you know, eventually the weights will come, especially if he's getting bigger. So I don't think you should hold yourself back to a weight class that is a tough cut. You know, I think if you fill out 67, 20 kilos is a gap that it sounds bigger on paper than it actually is. So,
yeah, that'd be my concern too, is having to drop down and wait and going through the whole thing of not being able to eat the day of the meet, you know, going in the sauna, which now we can't use the sauna, guys, you know, COVID. So I don't know what we're going to do there. So I kind of feel like, hey, Miguel, let's just build up the most monstrous snatch and we'll just qualify and win everything with a 100 kilo snatch, and then the clean and jerk will just be whatever it is. Yeah. He's like going out and he's snatching 120, Frank, and then he's clean and jerking 75.
Yeah.
It could happen. I don't know. I think we'll have to keep working through this. I think we need to, Miguel, give the squat jerk more time. I think that's what we ultimately need to do. And I think we need to just take it on from a standpoint of getting it up, you know, in technical ability, and not really worrying about going super heavy with it, you know, because you need to have a high level of accuracy and success and precision with that lift. So I kind of feel like you're going to get there the more confident you get in that lift by doing it with maybe those more sub-maximal weights, but we can still keep pushing the clean and pushing the snatch. And I think it'll all come together in some point, especially in the next training cycle where we focus maybe a little bit more on upper body strength too.
Yeah. And I honestly, I haven't done a split jerk since like around the Arnold, like nothing heavy. And I'm wondering, because my snatches have felt so better, like shoulder stability wise, if potentially if I've fixed that kind of issue that I've had with it. And trying out the squat jerk has definitely helped me with, you know, feeling where the bar is, where I, you know, when I go in that dip in the drive up, like feeling for the bar instead of just kind of throwing it up there. So I wonder if working on the squat jerk will also help my split jerk as well, where I can feel the bar better and actually get under it in a timely manner because I can feel where it is properly.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't rule it out. It's worth a shot to try. And Shaf, you were working on a squat jerk for a little while, and now we're back to the split jerk. Do you feel like that work you were doing with squat jerk helped at all with your split jerk?
Definitely. I've felt like I've had more control on my jerk overall. I've been able to, like, my dip, like the actual dip going into the jerk feels a lot better. Like I know when I'm going to make it or I'm going to miss it on like a heavier weight now. It just depends like where like the bar is and if I'm bringing the bar down with me instead of dipping too fast, so the bar's a little ahead of me, like above me, so then like I have to come back up and catch it and then go for the jerk. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And your hands are wider now the way they used to be for that squat jerk.
Yeah, I feel more stable being out there, and like I can get my head through a lot faster, and it's just like less range of motion, so it just feels better anyway.
So maybe we're onto something here. Maybe you'll have a similar breakthrough that Shaf had by kind of going through this squat jerk journey, Miguel.
Yeah, I mean, this is all like a time of trial and error for me. Technically, I am still retired, so I can kind of do whatever.
Well, wait a minute. I didn't realize you were still retired. Like when did you go into retirement? Was that the Arnold?
We retire the second I do my last clean and jerk at whatever meet we're at. And then I don't come out of retirement until I officially sign up for the next meet.
Miguel, if you're going to retire, I feel like you need to do it the right way with the shoes at the end of the platform and the bowing and the crying and the kissing of the weights and all that stuff. But then come out of retirement in a public, you know, media statement as well. Like I want to see it in the newspaper, you know, United Way employee Miguel Porter is coming out of retirement for weightlifting.
I like do an IGTV that has like two views of like, I'm back.
Yeah, you're back. And then the next one you do several months later, you're just in tears. Guys, thank you so much for the support. You know, it's only Shaf watching. You know? Right now, Frank's thinking that he's never going to squat jerk, so we never have to worry about trying that out.
I can hardly squat snatch, so.
Well, Miguel, I think you are out of retirement because you mentioned that you're going to do the meet in December at Christmas and Kilos, correct?
In theory.
In theory, what's?
We have not fully signed up yet.
But hold on, Schaff is signing up. And normally that was the thing that would stop you from signing up, right? It's like Schaff has to sign up, and then that means you would sign up. So I feel like we've already gone past that, and really everyone else in the club is signing up. So isn't what everyone else in the club is doing kind of a dictator on whether or not you'll do something?
Kind of. I mean, once I see like, all right, if everyone else is going, I guess I'll also go. But for now, I just kind of want to, I feel like the second that I sign up for a meet, like, then I have to get serious about things. So I'm going to drag it out as long as possible well, and enjoy my retirement.
It used to be the second you sign up for a meet, you stopped eating. But now... So yeah, but now that we're up a weight class, that doesn't have to happen. Like you could come to Barbell Club with a cake, it'd be fine.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, yeah, this time will be different preparation wise. So maybe in theory, if I do Christmas in kilos and it's not a terrible lead up, then maybe I'll like meets again.
I think you will. I think this is going to be the turnaround. And right now, you know, Frank's doing it, Schaff's doing it, new guy Dan's doing it, Renee's doing it, Haley's doing it, Bree's doing it, Bella's signing up. Bella's coming to the mock meet or practice meet. So it's like everyone's in.
Didn't Dan sign up before he even signed up for Barbell?
He did. And that's how I got you signed up. So,
yep.
Or at least committed. Oh man.
See, this would also be a great time for me to take up coaching. We have so many athletes signed up already. I can just go in there, get a tracksuit on and start coaching everyone.
That's what I was thinking. You would definitely need an Adidas tracksuit and a towel, you know, like the towel to put in the back pocket, a fanny pack and a water bottle, like the team water bottle where you just squirt it at people, you know, if they need a drink. Just, I don't know.
So we'll see what I want to do.
Only problem with that idea is no one's going to get better at weightlifting. They're just going to,
when I'm just yelling at everyone, yeah, no matter if they're doing it.
I'm touching your mask. That's what's going to be. It's no weightlifting. Just quirky BS.
Yeah,
before Schaff goes out, I'll be like, you'll probably make this one, so you're good.
You know what you'll be, Miguel? You will be the anti-coach. You know, like if there's an angel on one shoulder, you'll be the devil on the shoulder. Kind of, you know, like I'm like, all right, Schaff, you got this. You're going to make this lift. And then he turns over and he makes eye contact with you and you're just shaking your head like, no, no dice, man. No, that's not going to happen.
You touched your mask.
It sometimes could be, you need that level of motivation. The person who tells you that you can't do it, so then you want to do it more. Maybe I need to be that person.
So that's your coaching style is just the motivator by demotivation, I guess. Schaff, what would your coaching style be?
What was the question? Sorry.
What would your coaching style be? If that's Miguel's coaching style, how would you approach doing things?
Oh, a lot of screaming. So just be me screaming all the time. Like, you could do it, but like really high volume. Just like,
yeah, I can see that. Screaming. Inaudible words. If you guys listen to the video, the audio on Miguel's recent clean PR, 2:15 for two, you were going nuts in the background. I almost feel like I should have been filming you. So I could see that. And then Frank's coaching style would be actual coaching, I imagine. So
yeah, it'd be like that. But yeah, if you miss, don't come talk to me.
So if we go around, Miguel's is the you can't do this, I don't believe in you at all style. And Schaff's is I'm going to scream my head off, and he has a megaphone, and no one can hear what he's saying, except there will be audible reaches in there. You will be able to hear him say reach very loudly. and then Frank will be actual coaching, but if you fail, you're off the team, and I'll never talk to you again. Okay, all right. I feel like that's a healthy mix that we have here in the group. It's pretty much everything. It's full spectrum. Awesome. Well, guys, anything else that we want to talk about? I know we said that we weren't going to talk about Schaff the whole time before the show, but it kind of worked out that way. But there was a healthy dose of Miguel in there. We didn't really talk about Frank too much, but you know what? Frank doesn't have a whole lot of antics. You know, Frank's just going in. He's got his briefcase on. He's got his hat on, going to work all day, coming in at 5 a.m., hitting lifts. Frank, how's the training cycle been going for you? This is tough. I kind of feel like I wonder how it would work if we Zoom called you in the evening and you were lifting in the evening while the team is lifting somehow.
Yeah, I mean, we might be able to swing that sometime, but you know, it's still not the same as being in the gym with everybody. So,
yeah,
it's been going okay. I had a minor wrist setback yesterday. Missed a clean, kind of tweaked it, but you know, that was after we had a few PRs. Which, by the way, who won the week there at the end of the week, James? Did you do the math?
Oh, for the deadlifts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say you won it because you had by far the biggest increase. I mean, I didn't do the math, but most of these guys didn't have a previous PR. So really, you're the only one percentage-wise that went up. But you also did 195 kilos for 3 reps with a pause. So that's pretty darn good.
Yeah. All right. I'll take it, even though they didn't have PRs to beat, so it's not really fair. So
well, they've got them now. They've got them now. And even with the cleans, like, you guys didn't have clean triples. So Frank wins the day on Friday for sure. And there's a lot of people who couldn't come on Friday. And you guys don't know this, but so Frank did 195 kilos on the clean deadlift with the pauses just below the knee for 3 reps. And then he sent me a video today of CJ Cummings clean and jerking 195 kilos pretty easily and winning himself apparently a PS5. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I wanted to throw up. Like, I was just holding that last one. I felt like I wanted to pass out, and it probably took 5 seconds for me to get it from my knee to my hip, and he just cleans it. And like, you've seen CJ jerk a barbell. It's like a push jerk thing. It's like not even like a huge effort. Like, he just, it's so easy for him. I don't know. It's crazy. And he's like Miguel's weight class. This is the crazy part.
Well, it's an interesting perspective that you have, because you're the only one on the chat right now and really in the club that knows what that 195 feels like in your hands. And you did it for 3 reps in those pauses, you know, so it's like when you see someone just do it so effortlessly and it looks like, you know, like it doesn't even look like max temp or max weight, you know, it looks like it's like, what, like 85% or something. Other than wanting to throw up, what else is going through your mind when you're just kind of comparing the way that it felt versus the way it looks when he's doing it?
It's just insane. We said the same thing because we took a few sets afterwards. You know, I tripled 210, and then we went to 220, and I got that for a double. And I think we said after the 220 that I was like, I can't believe like West Kitts can clean and jerk this, and it's like almost 500 pounds. You know, it's just, I don't know. You can't compare the way it feels for me is the way that, you know, a 600 or 700 pound deadlift must feel for those guys, I guess. It's just such a big, big, like, weight that I can't conceive, like, pulling it to my hip with any sort of speed enough to get it above my belly button and be able to get under it and then stand it up again, you know?
And then put it overhead for the jerk.
Yeah. Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, here it is for you guys. Can you guys see that screen?
Mm-hmm.
So this is 195 kilos. So CJ Cummings is clean jerk here.
My deadlift wasn't that fast.
I think that's the most impressive part right there is the jerk. And then he held it for a while too. It almost made me think like, wait, was this a meet? You know, that's what I first thought. Like, I like the patience on just holding it there for a couple seconds.
It's just disgusting.
There's so many things with how CJ lifts that are just completely ridiculous. Like, even seeing him put his hands on the bar, I'm like, oh, that's a narrow grip for a snatch. And it's just an extremely wide grip for the clean.
Yeah, jeez.
You know, I used to clean with a very wide grip. I used to be pinky on the ring. So when the on like a weightlifting bar, that ring that's all the way out, I used to be pinky all the way out there. And then I would go slightly wider for the jerk. And now I just don't have the flexibility to do that anymore. And he's certainly super flexible. What I like is if you watch when this replays here, watch him set his back. Watch his back. It's rounded right there a little bit, but then he's going to tighten it up. Right there. You guys see that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, that's legit right there. And that's, you know, we're talking about that a lot with both of you, Miguel and Schaff, on tightening up your back like that before you go to pull. And Miguel, your back might be in a position like that on rep one of a triple or double. But what we were trying to work on last week was getting it to be solid like that for all three reps. Yep. And that's typically where you were losing reps out in front of you, is just because you were pulled out of position because you didn't have the posture set. Look at his wide stance too on the jerk.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't even move his feet.
Yeah, I just saw that. For anyone listening, this is on CJ Cummings' Instagram page, posted a day ago. Watch
his feet on the clean, James.
Watch his feet?
Yeah, watch his right or left. Watch his foot. Does it look like he kind of slides back a little bit on that one side, like we were talking about that I did on accident on Saturday and hurt myself?
Well, I saw that they both moved, right?
His right foot kind of slid back an inch or two more than the left.
Okay, let me look at which one.
Yeah, it'll be the foot on your left. It's his right foot.
All right, I'm watching it now. It looks like it turns out. Yeah, it does look like it kind of made move back a little bit.
The fact that he can get away with something like that with almost 200 kilos and I had 150 on and almost died.
Well, that's why he's CJ Cummings. He's the man.
20 kilos heavier than him. I want to quit.
I mean, he's
going to retire like the hell now.
It just keeps replaying right now. And I'm glad it's all just auto replaying so we can just see so many parts of it. But it's just a beautiful lift too. You know, like normally when I think about beautiful lifts, I think of the snatch. You know, when you see a really awesome snatch done with good technique, there's just nothing like it. You're like, man, that's what I want to do or what we're all achieving to do. But CJ's cleaning jerks are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times with the cleaning jerk, it kind of looks like more of like a powerful movement where you would call like the snatch kind of like when you look at it, it kind of looks like more smooth when it's a really good one, where the clean and jerk just looks like you're using so much strength. For him, it like his clean and jerk looks the same like amount of smooth as like a perfect snatch looks like. Like all the movements are just so well strung together.
Yeah. It's there's more finesse on that snatch versus maybe for a lot of us, the clean and jerk is more muscly, you know, it's a little more brute strength. Take a look, Miguel, at his jerk. Look at where he's putting the bar. I feel like you get there when you do your squat jerks, but when you catch higher or do your split jerks, you're not putting the bar over the traps in the upper back like he is.
Yeah.
Like, look how far through he goes. Maybe this is what we should focus on Wednesday. Look at that right there.
Yeah.
I feel like if you got there, then it wouldn't be an issue anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, I've never really been one to like miss jerks behind me. They're always way out in front. So
yeah,
if I could, like, if I could like put it in a spot that I mean, I've been working on like pinching my shoulders together during like the snatch and stuff for shoulder stability. So if yeah. I can keep that same kind of thought process for getting the jerk up.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we talked about it way back when you switched to a power jerk at the end of like the lockdown and stuff, and we got back in the gym, but watching CJ do this now, since he's doing a very similar style of jerk that you do, it's just kind of clicking a little bit that when you do your squat jerks, you're not as high as he is. You're a little bit lower, but your head and upper body are in that position right there.
Yeah.
And they're in that position when you go to do your snatches, but they're not in that position when you go to do the split or catch the power in not a squat. I think we're onto something.
Hope so.
This is 3 kilos off the world record.
Is it?
That's just insane. Yeah. Yeah. Shi Ziyong has 198.
What's CJ's max? Do we know?
I think this is a PR for him.
This was a PR?
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a ways to go to catch up in the snatch. I think the Chinese lifter was doing like almost 170. It was like high 160s. And I think CJ is like in the 50s. So he's got a little ways to go, but yeah.
This is him going off the blocks. Ooh, a little front squat in there. This is definitely someone who you could stay on their training page for just an extended period of time and just marvel at the technique. But it's also interesting just to see what he's working on. He does a lot of like high rep front squats like this after most things. He does a ton of front squats.
There should be a video fairly recent where it was like this complex that they had him do. Maybe it's this one. Yeah, it's this one where they were just like, all right, one more jerk, one more front squat, one more. And he just continues to add on reps and reps and reps.
So he just did a snatch and then a power clean. And now he's going to town on jerks.
145 kilos.
That's 145?
Yeah. It's getting heavy.
Is anyone counting?
Four or five. Oh, no. Oh. It's a close grip overhead squat.
Crazy.
So that's, can we do that's that what we do what?
Can we do this to shop? Like put like 180 pounds on the bar and just tell them to go?
Yeah. Okay. And with the close grip overhead squat at the end.
Snatch it, clean it, jerk it.
Got 12 you.
I kind of feel like that would be something that would work out pretty well too, Miguel, is if we had you do some close grip overhead squats.
Yeah.
Kind of working on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I don't want to do that.
Look, I'll call you.
Oh. All right. Well, this has been great, guys. I think we did well. You know, I think in terms of an organized conversation, I think we did a good job. Not too many trip ups there, you know, on talking over one another or anything like that. This has been fun. What do we think?
It was a good one. Definitely let's do it again soon.
I think next time we get on, what we should do is we should watch more videos and kind of talk about them like this. They don't all have to be Miguel PR videos. maybe we just watch and marvel lifters kind of doing their thing and have a little bit of group commentary on it. Maybe we'll all pick a couple favorite lifters and kind of just take a look at their technique and marvel and maybe compare ourselves to them a little bit.
Yeah.
And One thing I have to say though is Shaf got off easy in this episode. I can't wait to hear when you get the girls on and how bad he gets it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, next time we'll try to get a couple more people on here, and Shaf is shaking his head right now because he knows that Haley will show no mercy.
Yeah, be like, I don't extend that well. You're not motivated enough for this. Why are you lifting?
I should somehow figure out how to give her a host rights so she can choose when to mute you or to boot you out of the chat or something. It'll happen. Well, any closing thoughts, Shaf and Miguel?
As per my own rules that I created on Friday, my 215 does not count as a double. They are really two singles.
Oh man, this is a whole another like.
Was it too long?
I looked, and I started counting the seconds in between my reps.
Wait, how much was it?
I think I passed the 15 seconds. I was looking, and I was like, no, maybe I'm good. But there's a moment where I put my hands on the bar, and then I stop, and I step back, and I stand up straight again, and then go. And I was like, that did it.
Hey, shouldn't the time restart as soon as you touch the bar? Like, you got back to it.
Yeah, but I did create the strict rules, so I must abide by the rules that I myself created.
I don't follow your rules either, Miguel. You don't have to.
Yeah, see, I don't know about this. 7 seconds is a harsh rule. This is a hotly contested debate in all of weightlifting on how much time should pass between reps on doubles and triples. I think 7 seconds is way too aggressive. We also have to remember, Miguel, we're not doing CrossFit. You know, like it doesn't have to be that fast of a turnaround time. I think I would be more lenient somewhere in the span of 10 to 30 seconds, somewhere in there.
That like hurts me to hear.
And I mean, does 30
seconds would kill me.
Well, and also like, I mean, what about for those of us who are old?
Well, that's different. You guys have different rules.
So there can be master's rules.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like that. I'll stick to my master's rules on I'll hit my first rep and then 13 minutes later, I'll do the second. No, I'm kidding. It's not that egregious, but I try to get back on the bar under 30 seconds. And if it's under that time frame, I'm okay. Miguel doesn't agree.
I mean, you know, I just can't allow myself to like think about it for too long. So I have to like force myself to get back on.
Well, now here's the thing too. You guys like to touch and go them as well, as opposed to dropping. So it's like, should these be two separate PRs? How about like, should there be a double PR for Miguel on when you touch and go, where you don't take your hands off? And then is there another satisfactory PR on when you're allowed to drop? Are these two different animals?
Yeah, I guess so. I need to create a list with all my rules, because I've been creating a lot of rules recently. And I don't even know if I can keep track of the rules.
You have been. Where is this coming from on all the rules? This is like a new hobby.
It's all from my heart.
Your cold heart that enforces all these rules on everybody. Frank, what do you think? Are those two different PRs, hands-on versus dropping?
Yeah, I mean, he did the lift. It's whatever. You know, I'm not that picky about it.
Yeah, so, see, yeah. If it meets the number, I'm good. If you did two, okay, then in my head you just did a double. But I've never really thought about breaking them up into separate categories on did you drop it or not.
Well, like, yeah, I guess it is because of CrossFit. Because to me, even if I do a clean, drop it, do one like immediately, like as it hits the floor, to me, that's like two quick singles.
Yeah, what's CrossFit?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's mistake number one. Now the whole podcast is turning against you, Miguel.
Ooh,
I mean,
bringing CrossFit rules into a different sport.
Yeah.
I think that's what's happening. I think, you know, I think you can't do that. I think that is an argument against many of your rules. And now I know this. So now I'm going to question the background of the rule. Is it coming from a place of CrossFit? And does it have a place in weightlifting?
Are press outs allowed?
I wish press outs were allowed.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have stuck with the clean and jerk I would have stuck with the split jerk for a long time if I could press out.
You'd be the king. You'd just be out there winning all your sessions. So on the press out, you know, I'm okay with the press out for a training PR. You know, of course it wouldn't be your meet PR, but those to me are two different things. Like the PR that I've done in the gym is not the same as my PR in competition.
Yep. The only time I say you have to hang on to it is like if it's a hang lift complex, like if we're doing like, you know, doubles or triples from the hang, like you're not gonna, you know, go from, say we're going from the position one high hang from the hips, right? And, you know, you're not going to do a snatch, drop it, shake your hands up, deadlift it back up, reset. You know what I mean? Like, that's got to stay in your hands all the time. But if you're going from the floor, like, that's just a bunch of unnecessary work to lower it down, catch it, reset up top so you can slowly lower it down, touch, go, and go again. That's just, I don't know.
No, I agree. Because if you do that, then let's say you're doing a double, then really what you're doing is a snatch from the hips, then a snatch deadlift, then another snatch from the hips.
Right.
And so you have an extra move in there. No, I agree with that 100%. You have to hold on to it if you're doing a hang or something. If you're lifting off the blocks now, okay, you can drop to the block because that's part of the beauty of working with the block is you can just drop it right back down there and not have to pick it back up. Shaf, what do you think about all this? You've been very quiet. And you have lived in both camps because Miguel often sways you to his influence on getting into these touch and go battles.
I only do the touch and go battles because, like, I have that mindset. It's like, if he could do it, I could do it. So if he's going to do it during the training session and it's like something harder, I should do it too. But I can, when I was trying to do it, like, I can't bring the bar all the way back down to the floor and then I won't be in the same position to like do my snatch or my clean. So I do need a reset because like if I don't, then I'm not in that same position I would be in like a meet.
Exactly. And we've worked on that. And now, you know, Miguel's spinning his web and you start to play his game. And then by the time we get to the top sets, you're tired and then he beats you. So really, I've never thought about it this way before. At the very beginning of the session, Miguel lays out the rules for the sessions. And then he gets you to abide by the rules. And then when it comes time for the important part at the end, on the heaviest ends of the set or going for PRs, Miguel has been succeeding and you've been struggling. And then Miguel ends up winning the session. This is all making sense now.
Nah, he's just a better lifter.
It's like, what do you mean? I'm making everyone run my race.
Yeah, you are. You're like,
I create the rules so that they benefit me and everyone else gets screwed over by them. So I win. Yeah.
You're like Triple H in the WWE. You're the cerebral assassin.
He's like that kid from that movie Big Daddy where they're playing cards at the table and the delivery guy's like, I have three aces. How does his hands beat you? And he's like, because I win. And that's just the
exactly. And you know, like, no one else really kind of plays into the rules. Like, this is it's typically just an A and B conversation. Like, Haley might string together a couple reps touch and go early on in her warm-ups, but then she typically, I think, goes back to dropping, and everyone else is kind of just doing you know, whatever. They're doing it the way that they see fit. But you guys kind of get into this silent battle and then Miguel comes out on top because I feel like he sets the rules. See, Shaf, you have to set the rules at the beginning of the session.
I feel like I'm cheating at that point.
How is that cheating?
Like, I'm just going there to train. I'm not setting any rules.
Well, hold on. You're lifting the most weight in the room. Shouldn't it be you setting the rules?
No.
And the terms?
No, because then we also have Frank that also lives way more than me. So it's like, oh, should he be setting the rules too, even That's though he's true. Not lifting with us?
It is true. He is out, but he's solo out there. So he's not – if you look at it, Frank's PRing all the time too, but Frank isn't under Miguel's influence on what the rules are. And he typically lifts before you guys do. So maybe what Frank needs to do is post on the page the terms of the day.
Well, I'll say this. If I was lifting in Albany with you guys, I wouldn't be lifting by Miguel's rules either. So
yeah, no, I mean, I feel like all the girls, they just pretty much ignore everything I say, which is good.
Yeah, I'd be lifting with
I feel like me and Shab, we have a thing where I'm just like, because I give him looks.
He does. Where oh my God.
Like, I won't even have to say anything, but like my look will be like invalidate everything that he just did.
You guys like are a pair of like twins where you have this unspoken language and there's like this silent conversation going on throughout the entire training session. And everyone else is just kind of like, I don't know what's happening right now. And probably new people are probably like, Miguel's so mean to Shaf. You know? Like on Friday, you were going pretty hard on him with the whole mask thing.
I don't intend on being as mean as it sounds, but it's usually just observation.
He's not that mean about it either.
Yeah, it comes from a place of love, I imagine, a place of positivity. I don't know if that's the case when everyone else starts piling on, you know, like we legit had like a good 5 minutes between the clean deadlifts and the cleans on Friday where you were just, you were sitting on your plates facing Shaf, just spouting off rules and critiques. And, you know, Haley was, you know, like stripping her bar, but then I think she stopped to join in. And then I was like, what's happening right now? Like everyone, this is like the intermission between lifting on like heckling Shaf.
And then Dan came in with it too. And he's new.
What did he say? I don't think he said anything, did he?
He said something. I don't remember. I just remember saying something.
With everything else that we said.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation. Like, is that even allowed? Like, is he too new to kind of get in on this?
You were the one that asked him. You said, Dan, do you have anything to add on?
Well, I mean, that's because I was surprised. I was like, is there anyone else in the room that would like to comment? And then next thing we know, you know, someone walking from the hallway upstairs is like peeking over. Actually, I do have something to add to this, you know?
Well, I'm trying to build Shop's mental strength. Because I see greatness in him. And if I can get that chip on his shoulder, he will be a great legendary lifter. So I gotta break him down now so that he grows back stronger.
I appreciate it.
You're like Mick from Rocky. That's your coaching style and whatnot. You're not old, although you have the joints of a much older man.
Yes.
You know, so maybe that's where a lot of that comes from. It's like you have a young heart, you're a young person, but you have that old mentality when it comes to training an athlete.
James told me about this yesterday, and I told him that all you have to tell them, Shop, is that it's working because you're the only one out of all of them that's gone 6 for 6 at their meet. So he's off on the platform and you win.
Yeah, that's you're too humble, Shop. You're too humble. You're just taking it. And he's just going to keep on dishing it out. Like, but you've got some things that you could say back.
Well, I think the thing is, like, in our room, Shaf is the one that's lifting the heaviest. So it's like, we feel like we can just throw everything at him because it's like, either way, he's still lifting heavier than us. But like, if Shaf like came at me, like, I would feel so slighted. Like, if he...
I give out critiques, though.
Look at the way when you said that too, you like grabbed your chest.
It would hurt so much because it's like when I say something, no matter how you look at it, all he has to do is look down at his bar and then look over at my bar. So it's like I will always be lifting less than him. But if he said it the other way and then also just went and did like a clean that's like 30 pounds above my max, then I would shut up forever.
I do that to Shop every time I lift with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's
like 60 pounds ahead of me.
Well, yeah, there's some days where Frank will snatch what you end up clean and jerking at the end of the day, and it's fun, you know. But it's like with Miguel, your clean is catching up to Shop's though. So I feel like the race is on. Shop, do you kind of feel like anyone, like he's chasing you a little bit? And Miguel, are you trying to chase him, to push him?
Oh, I'm definitely chasing him. I always am, especially for the clean. Since we had that no feet day, I was like, I can do this. Or at least like I can be around him by the end of this. Like if he's having a real bad day, I can take it.
Yeah, there was a day where we were doing no foot cleans, Frank, and Miguel beat Schaff on that workout. It was just a day, you know, like I think it was just the no feet thing, Schaff, that we had issues kind of just figuring out. But Miguel was like, this is easy. And if anything, he just made his clean better.
Yeah, I barely move my feet anyway, so.
I was going to say that sounds like my normal clean.
And yeah, it was great because then I got to move over. And at a point, we were tied. So me and Shaf were using the same weight. And then he missed it. And then I got it. And it was the best day of my life.
That was the actual best day of your life. I hope not. Beating Shaf in the clean workout.
That one haunts my nightmares.
I feel like what you guys should have is you guys need to make your own podcast, and it can be called Training Enemies or something like that. I would listen to it.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Frank
just be Miguel coming at me the whole time.
Yeah, that's all it would be. It would just be like, you know, like 30 minutes to an hour of rules and critiques and manifestos that Miguel has come up with and just reading them. And then you would ask Schaff's opinion, but then you would cut him off. It'd be something like that. I don't know. Well, either way, this training cycle is going very, very well. You guys are all doing a fantastic job. The next training cycle, which will happen once we're done with that mock meet. Or, see, now I'm saying mock meet all the time. Practice meet. It'll start right up and lead us into the Crispus and Kilos meet. I already have it in Wattify. It's all written. It's ready to go. Got a little bit of everything in there. Schaff requested some blocks, and I figured out how we can make blocks work, and I actually think blocks will be a good idea kind of going into that as well. So I look back at what we were doing before last year's meet, and I believe Frank was working on blocks. And I think we were too. So I was like, hey, if that worked last time, why wouldn't it work this time, you know? Mm-hmm. Except we will be doing some different things. Like we're going to be doing some EMOMs. Did anyone listen to the podcast?
Yes.
Did, so you know.
I don't want it.
What the thing is.
Doing clusters or what is this?
Yeah, clusters for EMOMs.
Yeah, clusters or squat clean with a thruster on the EMOM. I think it would make the clean and jerk EMOM a little bit more bearable.
It's just going to make it a bear.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's like, think about it. You don't have to stand up with the clean and then have that pause and then do the jerk. You can just hit the clean, stand, and press it out. You'll be done with that just as fast as you would almost the snatch.
So are we doing this as a squat, as like a cluster, or are we doing this as like a squat clean and then a thruster separately from that?
No. It would be go right into the thruster.
So we're doing a full-on cluster from the floor. Got it.
Yep. Hit the clean, stand, and push it overhead.
All right.
I mean, it's not currently in this training cycle coming up, but it could be. And actually, after I wrote the training cycle and put it in Wattify, I was like, man, maybe we should do that. So that actually might happen for the first 3 weeks. Then when we do the second series of EMOMs for the final 3 weeks leading up to the meet, we'll do clean and jerk.
Okay.
Yeah, just an idea.
Would the clusters be like thrusters or like a jerk? I mean,
oh, like the clean jerk where you come up, yeah, and do a split. No, they'd just be thrusters.
Okay.
I feel like we'd need to spend more time with the clean jerk before throwing it into anything like that. That'd be something that we would just do as a standalone exercise, as opposed to doing it as an EMOM. Mm. We'd need more practice with that.
I finally got my push press over. I think I finally push pressed 140.
Disgusting.
I think we can get 300 pounds on a cluster. That'd be my goal.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I think we can do it.
All right. Well, let me know when you want it programmed, and the whole team will do it.
Yeah, no, I'll wait for it to show up, but that would be my goal. I don't know about these guys, but yeah, because we did that 308 with the, what was it, a clean and a push press? Was the,
yeah.
Yeah, I think I got to 308, so I think we can get.
I think we get, well, it'll, once we're done with the meet and that training cycle will conclude, we won't start a new training cycle until the new year. So we will have a couple weeks of, I've been thinking about this, a couple weeks of what you guys want to do. So at some point there will be like a poll or a thread in the Facebook group where it'll be like, all right, what things would you guys like to see popping up in the programming? And then I'll make it work and we'll have just some fun days where we do things that we normally don't get a chance to do.
Did 12 people comment bench press?
Yeah, that's definitely going to happen. Well, hey, we'll have to see where the world is with COVID and everything before we do bench press. That'll be tougher to make happen. Mm. Although, actually, no, we could do bench press with those silver racks that we have now. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah, we could do bench press. We'll make it happen. I'll be the one in charge of spotting and whatnot, so there's no issues with that.
I think when you re-rack with the free rack, I don't think you can really extend all the way to like where you can bring it back down
and, yeah,
put it back up.
It might just turn into me running from rack to rack, spotting everybody to help with that, you know. But hey, it's all right. It's the club weeks, you know. We'll do it for fun. But it just can't be bench press every day, every week, and whatnot. There has to be some kind of a limit.
Just PR snatches every day.
That's what we'll do. When we get closer, we'll just have a big group podcast where we'll just discuss what we want to do and what goes on the list and what's off the list. Mm-hmm. And then I'll have some ideas too. So I think that'll be fun. We'll get Haley on, we'll get Bree on, we'll get as many people on as we can, and we'll just talk about what the plan will be for those holiday weeks. And the main reason I want to do it too is because I imagine a lot of you guys are going to be missing training with the holidays going on and travel and stuff like that. Or who knows? I could be wrong. It could be no one's doing anything because of COVID in the world. So we'll see. All right, gentlemen. Well, we've had a good conversation. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming on. Shaf, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at TacoShaf. No, at Taco.Shaf.
Don't forget the dot.
Yeah.
Taco.Shaf. Miguel?
Same thing on Instagram at CouldItBeMiguel.
Couldn't be Miguel. Frank?
On Instagram at TacoShaf.
Awesome. You should hijack his Instagram page and then just start posting all the videos we have.
It's Frank_Ford on Instagram.
Awesome. Make sure you follow the Barbell Strikes Back. And you can follow me on Instagram at James A. McDermott. Guys, thank you for coming on. And everyone, thank you so much for listening to our rambling.
Thanks, James.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.